Our gospel for this Sunday comes to us from the 17th chapter of the gospel according to John.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Now, this is the end of what's known as the upper room discourse or the farewell discourse in John. In Matthew, you had the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus went up to a high place, people gathered, taught them. In Luke, it was the Sermon on the Plain. He found a level place, people gathered around, he taught them. In John, he goes into this room, gathers his disciples, and teaches them. This is the prayer at the end. I have made your name known to those whom you gave me from the world. They were yours, and you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now they know that everything you have given me is from you, for the words that you gave to me I have given to them, and they have received them, and know in truth that I came from you, and they have believed that you sent me. I am asking on their behalf. I am not asking on behalf of the world, but on behalf of those whom you gave me, because they are yours. All mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I have been glorified in them. And now I am no longer in the world, but they are in the world, and I am coming to you. Holy Father, protect them in your name that you have given me, so that they may be one as we are one. While I was with them, I protected them in your name that you have given me. I guarded them, and not one of them was lost, except the one destined to be lost, so that the scripture might be fulfilled. But now I'm coming to you, and I speak these things in the world so that they may have my joy made complete in themselves. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they do not belong to the world, just as I do not belong to the world. I am not asking you to take them out of the world, but I ask you to protect them from the evil one. They do not belong to the world, just as I do not belong to the world. Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. As you have sent me into the world, so I have sent them into the world. And for their sakes, I sanctify myself, so that they also may be sanctified in truth. I ask not only on behalf of these, but also on behalf of those who will believe in me through their word, that they may be one. As you, Father, are in me, and I am in you, may they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. The gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Please be seated. On this day, it's important to acknowledge certain biblical women and their roles and their status that we sometimes overlook. We often forget Lot's wife and how she became a big pillar in the community. And we forget that one of the richest people in all of scriptures was Pharaoh's daughter, for she went down to the bank and withdrew a great profit. And now, jokes that are a little bit more everyone's speed. What did the panda give his mommy? A bear hug. How do you keep the little calves quiet so their mommy can sleep late? You use a mute button. Okay, we'll stop there. We'll stop there. Before you decide to use a mute button on me, you don't seem to be a very cowed audience, so that's good. I know. It really is an illness, so you can pray for my mother, and you can definitely pray for Jenny. She's just grateful that Zach did not inherit my sense of humor, only my hairline. So here we are at the end. The end of an evening that was very, very full. You know, 21 chapters of John, four of them are right here, in this upper room, right now. Jesus will finish the prayer up in a few more verses, and then they go out to the garden. And on this day, when we think of possibly gathering around tables, and maybe, just maybe, honoring moms by ordering out. Or ordering in. Or dad barbecuing something. Hopefully amongst other things. and not just today. Let us think about that upper room and that table. Because unlike Matthew, where Jesus went to a high place, which was a very normal kind of trope or expectation for an experience of God, or the very kind of countercultural but very appropriate to the Gospel of Luke, Sermon on the Plain, where Jesus stood on the same level as everybody else, Jesus sits around this table and teaches. And how many of us learned a great deal around tables in our own homes? Jesus starts off with washing their feet as a sign of love and of service and a reminder of the fact that even though he is the one that they call Lord, he did that. That it isn't about status, privilege, and place. It's about action and response. He then feeds them and talks to them about his body and blood and gives them a command. Love one another. By this, all will know you are my disciples if you have love for one another. And he did that all with 12 around the table. One would leave. But he fed and he still washed the feet of Judas. And Judas wasn't sitting at the end of the table like many of us would like to think. But in the Gospel of John, it talks about the fact that who's going to betray him? Well, his hand's in the same bowl as mine. So he's either right here, at the left or the right. And then he continues to teach. He talks about the fact that he is the way, the truth, the life. That he goes ahead to prepare a place. And that there are many places. And there are many who will come. And that when Thomas, in another one of his great examples of I don't get it, goes, how do we know? Show us the Father. I am in the Father is in me. If you know me, you know the Father. And then Jesus goes into all of this other teaching about abiding in one or another. I abide in the Father, he abides in me. He talks about I am the vine, you are the branches. Stay connected. There's this Holy Spirit that is going to come and is going to continue to advocate and continue to teach that you will not be abandoned or orphaned, that peace will always be coming to you because the Holy Spirit will always come to you, and that if you love him, you will keep his commandments. You abide in him and abide in his love. You will keep his commandments. And eventually we get to this part here where Jesus prays for them all to be one. I don't know about you, but anywhere in John, you kind of open up. John seems to love to do this. Classic example. All mine are yours and yours are mine, and I have been glorified in them. I abide in you, you abide in me, you abide in me. Oftentimes we think of faith as something you have to go and attain or achieve. You got to go find. You got to find Jesus. Have you found Jesus? That's a little awkward to go find for the person when you're the one that's lost. It's kind of like reverse hide and seek. He finds us. Throughout the entire Gospel of John, Jesus uses all of these I am statements. I am the bread of life. What do you do with bread, people? Oh, come on. You were alive earlier. Where are you? You eat it. You take it within, right? It says, I'm the water of life. What do you do with water? You drink it. And you better be drinking a lot of it out here, folks. But he also talks about, and there's this convoluted one in John 10 about, I am the sheepfold, I am the sheep gate, I am the good shepherd. I am the place where the sheep are protected, I am the doorway by which they come in, and I am the good shepherd that goes out and finds them. Jesus comes to us. The Word becomes flesh and dwells amongst us to show us the love of God in our midst by being in our midst and gathering us to do that. In the Gospel of John, I ask you to read it all the way through sometime and try to come up with a moral code that looks like anything that is proclaimed by someone on TV claiming to follow Jesus. Because the command of Jesus in the Gospel of John is to love one another. There's nothing about all the other stuff that we send to change. We seem to want to fracture and divide over all those little things that destroys unity over, well, what about this, or what about this, or what about that? And are you enough? Are you pure enough? Did you do enough? You love. At which point then, did we love enough? But please, again, remember that when Jesus talks about love and he talks about God's love for us that is made known through him, he's talking about love that is unconditional. It isn't a case of, okay, place your hand on the scriptures and swear to God that you attained this entire list at this level. For God so loved the world that he gave his son. And his son did not come to condemn, but to save it. But he calls us in all of these ways to, one, remember that we are in him, not because we choose, not because we attain, not because we earn, but that's because what he does. Called grace. And he calls us in that love to love. Knowing that we're not going to hack it all the way. I invite you to read the end of John and his discussion with Peter. But that doesn't change the fact that he loves us, that he feeds us, that he provides a place for us, that he gives us eternal life. But that also we are invited, called, empowered by the Spirit to be a sign of that. Just as he embodied the Word of God and became flesh in our midst, how might we embody that gift of love and grace in a world that wants to tear itself apart, that doesn't want to be unified? Everybody for themselves. Only the strong survive. Look out for number one. Instead, he calls us together. Calls us together in love. For the sake of love, for the purpose of love, as a sign of love. And we find out that after this, when everything seemingly goes wrong. We keep going in the story and we find out that he comes back again in love. Because love wins. Love creates. Love redeems. Love restores. Love might even lift us up. And we're invited to be a part of that. So remember that God loves you, and so do I. Amen.